Good morning. Happy New Year. So today's topic is how to love out loud like Jesus. And right now, on planet Earth, there are 7.6 billion people. And you and I, we're all one of the many faces of humanity that are trying to figure out what it is and how we can impact the world. We may be asking, is Jesus at work? Can he use me? Will he use me? And the answer to all of these questions is yes. And so you might be wondering, who's this Asian guy with an American accent standing up on stage? So one of the number one things that people will know about me after about a minute of talking is that I'm from New York. And there's a problem with that. So New Yorkers, if you know anything about us, number one, we're rude, right? We're rude. Number two, we all mind our own business. I ain't gonna talk to you. Number three, we're rude, period. So, and that was how I lived my life. So every day I would go on the school bus, or on the bus to school for an hour, dealing with a whole bunch of people, and I didn't want to look at any of them. I would look down straight at the ground. If I don't know you, don't talk to me. Let's have a good day. Don't ruin it for me. That was the attitude. And it's not just me. It's everyone else on the bus. Not a single smile. But as I was growing up, I was wondering, is this okay? Is this okay for me to go to this, ride the same bus for 4 years and not smile at a single person on this bus? It wasn't. And I realized that even though I had a New Yorker identity, my identity in Christ is what supersedes that. My heavenly nationality, my heavenly citizenship is what is above all of this. And so there's this quote by Jesus that we all deeply love. Let's read it. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You might recognize this. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. Let's read it again one more time, just for good measure, so we get this in our system. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Are not even pagans doing that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen? Basically, just because you're naughty and he's nice doesn't mean you'll get rain and he won't. Doesn't work that way. Let me tell you about a friend of mine, Nick Waters, a man that strives to live with the love of Christ with every breath to the point where people, if they don't even talk to him, they can tell something's up with this guy. And this guy, he just lives an incredible life where every person he meets, everything he does, he just tries to sit and listen. And the amazing thing about him was he managed to find a wife with the same mission. And what I love about them is they went on their honeymoon after they got married. And I asked them, like, what did you guys do? You know, and every normal couple would go on a honeymoon to Vanuatu and just stare in each other's eyes for 2 weeks on end and skip with roses and rainbows and unicorns, right? I mean, that's what I want. That's what all of us want. But that's not what they did. What they did was they sat down in a mountain. They went hiking. They worked for their honeymoon. They hiked up the mountain, sat down with a list, meditated upon the word, and wrote down the names of the people in their neighborhood they wanted to love better. And they were already doing that. They already had a Bible study with the Iranians that lived across the street from them. They had a ladies group that they were setting up, plus the people from their church. And when I heard that, I said, wow, this is the love of Christ. But it doesn't stop there. My hope is that we would all be able to do that. So he taught me four very important things with loving out loud, which is basically what that definition is. It's just going out and just doing everything you can. So there's four things. Number one is expand your comfort zone. Number two, make time. Number three, ask questions. Number four, be contagious. We'll get to that as we go along. So number one, expand your comfort zone. What does that mean? A lot of times we hear the words, forget your comfort zone. That's not comfortable at all. And duh, because that's the whole point of the phrase. But it's better to say expand your comfort zone because you want it to little by little become part of you. You see what I'm saying? To get used to talking to people from different countries, to get used to seeing different foods and tasting different foods. If you can't relate to people, how can you love them? How can you understand them? And so, back in 1998, I was 5 and a half. Elena was 2. We were in Indonesia, and there were these riots that happened. So there was political unrest. My family moved to Indonesia because my dad was terminally ill with cirrhosis of the liver. So he should have been dead 20 years ago, but praise God, God healed him. And so we went back. And in this time, there just happened to be huge inflation, and they had to find a scapegoat. And who was the easy target? People that happened to be of a different skin color, different religion. And that happened to be people like me. My ancestors came from China 100 plus years ago during the Qing Dynasty. And ever since we got there, it hasn't been very peaceful. A lot of time. And so anyways, in addition to being a different color, we're also kafir, which is the Arabic word for infidel, meaning that we don't worship Allah, we worship a different God. So you can imagine the tension that that had. Now, this was not a political, religious situation, but they used that to attack people like us. And so as a result, when I was really young, we were just rushed to the car one morning, and then we drove as fast as we could to somebody else's house. We got inside. Women were all on the first floor, and the children were on the second floor, American. So first floor, German, ground floor here. But anyways, and all the men were gone. What were they doing? They were wearing militia uniforms to protect us. So they would go out in their groups, and they were scared. I mean, and they had to come back every hour to report, tell their wives what was going on outside. And these mobs had burnt tire barricades that we had built around the city. And luckily, they didn't attack us. They were about to, but then they saw our mall and said, I like food. And they just went in that other direction instead. Praise God. But other people were not so lucky. So hundreds of people were raped. Hundreds of people were killed throughout Indonesia. And you would think that this would leave a huge hole in resulting in me hating these people that looked like this. People that claimed the name of Islam, people that claimed certain things. But that is not what Christianity is about. You know, we might be thinking, well, I should be justified in saying that because they tried to harm me, they tried to harm my family. But what did Jesus do? Jesus lived in a culturally racist society. We hear about the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, and how amazing it was that Jesus told her everything she did. But there's something a bit more to that story. When we think about it, what time was Jesus outside? What time was she outside? When do women go to get water from the well? In the morning. As fast as they can. Well, it's also a good time to gossip, right? It's the best time to gossip at the well is in the morning when the sun is not out. But when did she go? She went when it was hottest because there was no one there. Because they could be gossiping about her. And that is when Jesus went out to meet her. And in that time, men and women did not interact. If you were not married, you didn't talk. And some societies are still like that today. We know this. A lot of us are from different countries. But Jesus crossed so many lines. He crossed religious lines because she was a Samaritan, different, half-breeds, people you don't associate with. He crossed cultural lines, again, because they were Samaritan. He crossed sexual norms in talking to another person that was not of his gender. And this surprised the disciples to the point they didn't say anything. And this is what God is calling us to do, is to be a missionary to others. And this includes, for me, growing up, people that believe in different faiths or do things differently. A lot of Muslims, I still get made fun of almost on a weekly basis when I'm wherever I am. I will get called Chinese in the middle of the street. It's completely normal to do. Or when I was in middle school and high school, Chino was the common word from Hispanics. But rather than keeping that and saying, I'm not going to talk to these people. I don't like them. Oh, they're just this. You have to understand where they come from. And remember that they are also people that God created, that God loves, as much as he loves you. For God does not reign only on the righteous. He also reigns on the unrighteous. Here's another story. So my friend Nick Waters again, him and his three friends, all friends of mine, they were part of Campus Crusade. But what they decided to do was they decided to come together and rent an apartment with a huge living room for the sole purpose of letting that house become a house where people could be together, a house of God, but with the purpose of just welcoming others. And so you might think that was crazy, because that means that somebody had to be home all the time, which there was always someone home. The door was often unlocked. And so we had people over the time I had in college with these guys. We had atheists, we had emotionally unstable people, we had homeless people, we had gays and lesbians, we had Christians, Calvinists, Baptists, charismatics, Buddhists, and we got along. We had the opportunity to say, Jesus, 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 this, but instead we lived out Jesus. And then they would ask questions, and then we would say, well, I do this because God loves me, so I can show that to you. So they made time. And that's what showed me it was okay to hang out with people that are not Christians. It's okay to hang out with people that are not from your country, not from your zone, not from your things that you daily do. And this led to another story. So in 2015, I was in Köthen on the way to Leipzig in East Germany. And my friend over here, he took a shower a wee bit too long, so we missed our train. I was very upset. You know, Indonesians are not really on time anyways. So we missed the train by a minute, and an hour later, we're waiting on the platform, and then this guy comes up to us and says, hey, can you help me? I said, sure, as long as it's not for money. He said, well, I have this older gentleman with me, and I was wondering if you could help bring him to his destination. I said, sure, let's take a look at tickets to make sure we're actually going in the right direction. So we did. We transferred in the exact same trains, and I said, sure, I'll take him. So where are you from? We're from Afghanistan. Cool. Does he speak English or German? Nope, neither. And so I was like, oh, okay. We're not going to talk this whole trip. This is great. So we got in the train. I sat on this side with my friend, and the other guy sat on this side. Not to mention the gentleman that asked us for help left. And so as I'm sitting on the train, I'm just feeling more and more unsettled in my heart. I told myself, this can't be okay. This can't be okay that I'm sitting here and he's there and there's no interaction, even though I'm helping him. I don't care if I don't have the language in common. So I took out my phone and went to something called Google and typed in Farsi phrases, because I knew from Afghanistan they speak Dari, which is a variant of Farsi, or Pashto. So I Googled that. And as we transferred trains, I started reading these phrases, like, hi, my name is, and I introduced myself to him in Farsi. And what happened? He couldn't stop talking. He lit up and just kept on telling me phrases, and all I could go is, huh, and just read the next phrase on the list as if it had to do with what he just responded to me with. And that was our conversation with a lot of sign language. And in the end, he offered me cashews and peanuts, and we said, okay, thank you, you know. And I got his number, and he even called me one day. As if I could understand, you know? And, yeah, so, I mean, so then he, apparently what he was saying was, shame on you for not learning my language yet. But on top of that, he kept on mentioning this one word, which was dost. And if you speak Hindi or another language, you know what that word means. That word means friend. And so even though I wasn't able to just directly say, Nabi Isa, meaning Jesus in Arabic, this, and I want you to convert, he understood that he was feeling loved, even though I did not want to be there. I wanted to be in Leipzig to see Bach, my favorite composer. I didn't care about this Afghan guy, but God was like, I got a plan for you today. And that's making time. So number one, again, expand your comfort zone. Number two, make time. Number three is ask questions. This is just as important. Now, we as Christians, we know the truth, but a lot of times because of that, our arrogance gets in the way. Because people often aren't looking for answers. They're looking to be heard. They're looking for someone to care. And who are the best people for that? Us. But unfortunately, right now, we're not doing too hot. I don't know about you, but the last time I heard, the word evangelical in the States is not the same word we thought it was 20 years ago. It has a different meaning. And so we need to be that difference. Asking questions is so important. Apologies for that. It should not look like that. But there's this apologist named Michael Ramsden who works with RZIM, Ravi Zacharias International Ministries, and he says, ask questions, because asking questions opens up people and their general assumptions. Asking questions causes people to think. And it's so important. It's so important that we ask people questions. Now, we're going to do a fun part in this section now. So I'm going to ask you guys a few questions. And actually, as I name your country, what you're going to do is you're going to stand up, but face the other direction so you see each other. Because I know where you are from, but the other person may not know. Because this is a big church. How many of you know every single person in this room?
No one.
Only Jesus does. But that's okay, because we're about to change that. So, let's see. I don't know which country to start off with. I don't want to offend anyone. So let's just start with the Malaysians. So stand up. So we want to see where other people are from so we can talk with them. Do we have any other Malaysians? Singaporeans. Yes. Singaporeans. Indonesians. What about people from India? North and South. Standing up there. We've got, yeah. We've got, I'm sure we have a few Brits in this room. Yeah? 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 South Africans. New Zealanders. Yeah, yeah. Cameroonians. Yeah. Nigerians. South Africans. You can scream. Do whatever you want. Filipinos. Yeah. People from Hong Kong as well. I think there's one in here. Yes, good. Awesome. Americans, where are we at? Where are we at? Whoa! Canadians. Yeah. And I forgot the Swiss and the Mexican. Very important people in our church. Woo! Turkish people. Yeah. Of course, we can't forget our very own Germans. You know, when I first came to Germany, oh, sorry, who else did I forget? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Man, see, but that's my point, is there's so many people here, so many amazing people that we can meet, right? When I came to Germany for the first time, where did I go? I came here. And when I saw this church, I said, I'm not leaving, because I love this, because this church is literally, I forgot Brazilian as well, sorry. This church is literally, France. So I was just saying, this church is literally a picture, not a photo, a picture of what we will be like in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Like, we get to experience that now, but not every church on earth is like this. So how blessed are we? Amen. Amen. And so this is our opportunity in this church before we go out into the world as well, is to get to know each other a bit more. Oh, see, I already had a photo of you guys up there. Here we go. That's how important you are. There's so many conversations to be had. And maybe, let's make it even a bit further, because I know that this is a game that I like to do with a lot of people I know. It makes them excited when people know something about their country. So if I start randomly naming languages like Cebuano, or Ilocano, or Pidgin, or let's see what else, Yoruba, Hausa. See, if you people are starting to laugh because they're so surprised. I know that language. You see the impact that has? I may not know anything else about that person's country, but it's one thing that will make them smile today. What other countries do we have in there? Obviously, we had Russian, a lot of the countries. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot Romanian. I'm sorry. I know there's a few other countries, and you can come up to me and yell at me later at the end of the service, but that's probably because I haven't met you yet. So good to meet you now. Telugu, we have Tamil, we have Hindi. There's so many languages in each country. Not each country is named just by the language that the main populace speaks. And this is so important. And you're wondering, how does this Asian American guy from New York know all this stuff? It's not because I'm a genius. It's because I waste my time on Wikipedia when I should be writing papers. And it's true, because Wikipedia is free. You just click and click and click. And let's say you don't like to read. Maybe you like something a bit more entertaining. There's this YouTube channel called Geography Now, by this guy named Paul Barbato. And right now, he's going through every country in the world from A to Z, and it's currently on the letter K. It's great for your kids. It is family-friendly. And he's a Christian. Mmm. Yeah, yeah. So that gives you extra points to have to do that. So when you go home, this is how you earn your Jesus points today. Yeah. So before we go on to being contagious, asking questions is as simple as, where are you from? Tell me something about your favorite food. What reminds you of home? There's so many questions. And again, as you saw, you don't need a language in common to have a friendship with someone. You just need to know that that person is different from you. And that's the beauty. But now it's being contagious. What does being contagious mean? In English, being contagious is when you get someone else sick, you know? And that's what we want to do. We want to get other people sick with Jesus. That's what we're here to do on this earth, is to remind people that there's something better up there. We're going to skip this passage, and I'm just going to reread Matthew 5 again, because I think this is so important. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbors and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that is what we're going to try and do today. That's what we're going to try and do today. Because the world is just so beautiful. The world is small. And there's so many people to love, so many people that need love, including me and you. Each and every one of us needs love. But we're also vessels of the ultimate love. So how powerful is that? We're called to love our neighbors. So I know all of you have busy lives and we got to get somewhere. But instead of rushing straight to the tram after church, if you haven't done so before, take 5 minutes and stay here. And I know you saw everyone else that's different from you here. Just grab a random person. Don't be afraid. Say, hey, where are you from? Or I saw that you're from Vietnam. Let's talk. Tell me something about your country because I don't know anything. It's okay not to know anything. It's fine. And this is the amazing thing, this is what makes Jesus so, so beautiful. Because he expanded his comfort zone by coming down from heaven to earth, right? Number two, he made time to be with his disciples and the despised. He made losers become winners. How beautiful is that? Number three, he asked questions. Jesus asked questions even though he knew the answers. Why would you do that? Because he wanted to understand people. And even beyond that, even though he understood, he wanted to make sure they were heard, more importantly. He wanted to give them a time to speak. He listened to the tax collectors. He listened to prostitutes. He listened to all these people that Christians stay away from. Like my friends from the Nest, we invited people that I normally wouldn't associate with. Why would you invite a homeless guy to stay in your house when you know that all of your other friends throughout the weekend and the week will be staying there to crash as well? That's getting it dirty. Why would you do that? Because of love. Number four, Jesus was contagious by spending his time with 12 disciples and spreading that out with other people. Jesus made sure other people got the message. It's just, God is just so good. So before we get to this, again, Jesus expanded his comfort zone by coming down from heaven to earth for you and for me. Jesus made time by hanging out with his disciples and the despised. Jesus asked questions even though he knew the answers, not to command, but to understand. Not to command, but to understand. Number four, he was contagious so that all of us could catch the Jesus bug to share that with others. And so, again, I encourage you, after the service, don't leave. We want to talk to you. We want to know who you are. We want to meet you. Because this is an amazing community. So I'll end with this song from Casting Crowns, If We Are the Body. Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come, for we are the body of Christ. And if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? There is a way. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for your message. We thank you so much for your word, that you came down and expanded your comfort zone from heaven to earth, that you did all these things just for our puny little sakes. But because of you, we are no longer puny. We are amazing. We are vessels of the one and only God. We are the vessels of Jesus Christ, spreading love left and right, God. And even if we're in a place where we're not completely ready to do that, God, we pray that you would change our hearts, that we may be able to do so at our workplace, at home, with our friends, across the world, with our family, because we all come from so many different places, God. And sometimes it's just so hard. Sometimes we just want to scream out Bible verses at people. Sometimes we just want to tell them how right we are. But that's not what you did. You came and you listened, not to command, but to understand. And when a word was needed, then you said a few things. But God, we thank you so much that you love us this much, that you came down and did all this so that we can live a life that is beautiful, so that we can live a life that spreads this love of Christ to others. And we just pray that we'd be able to do that today. In your name, amen.